This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on September 16, 2025 in East Earl, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. 29 years ago, we had a love feast occasion there in Oak Hill, Virginia. That's where we live. And at that occasion, there was I was ready to be married, and there was about 150 of us youth standing out on a flat spot where we had volleyball. There was probably two or three games going at all times, and there was about four of us older boys that were sitting back, and as we were contemplating that this was probably our last year, we were just sitting back watching and taking in the sights and enjoying the Sunday afternoon. It'd been a really climax in your Christian walk, and so a lot of times it's just a pleasant evening together on Sunday afternoon with the youth. But there was a boy that wanted to take a ride in an old Ford pickup truck, and he talked two other boys into taking a ride in this old Ford pickup truck. And as we watched them go out the driveway, we didn't think anything of it. But we heard them coming. And see, in Virginia, you don't have many straightways that doesn't have a curve or a hill somewhere in the end. And as we seen them coming, I can remember, just like yesterday, as we looked at each other, we knew there was going to be a problem. Because, see, right past this straightway, there's a little hump and a curve. We figured they would slide. We figured they would somehow lose control, but we knew they couldn't make that curve. So as we looked at each other, without one word, we communicated a communication, and we started running. And we started heading to that curve. Before we got there, we heard the crash. We began to smell the smells. And you know, because that young man didn't listen, there was a mother that day that was taken, a wife was taken, and a young teenage girl was without her voice for a year. Now, if you've never heard the death rattle, that's what we heard. If you've never held one's hand while they took their last breath, when they didn't want to take their last breath, that's the death rattle. You won't forget that death rattle for the rest of your life. And that's what happens when you don't listen. If you don't listen, you're going to impact others, and it could be what we call eternal change. And so the lack of communication has cost many businesses, marriages, relationships, and many situations in life that you will not ever overcome. You know, in that truck, there was jail time. There is back problems for the rest of one of them's life. There's guilt, and there's a whole lot of emotions, and there was a dim light put on our neighborhood. So just understand that if you don't listen, there's eternal consequences in your life. So an overview of today, just a little overdue. It's a real simple overview. What we want to do is we want to think about communication first, just what we do, how we do it, when we do it. And then we want to talk about listening, and we want to go really, really deep. Interesting, Paul just reminded me that when this topic came up, they said, this is not for David. He don't listen too good. And you know, if you ever raise teenage daughters, you'll never be accused of listening well. But today, I want to encourage you. I want you to lift up higher. I want to encourage you to a life that's a lot richer. I want you to build relationships. The future of the kingdom businesses is ROR, not ROI. If you can get return on your relationships, the return on your investments will not matter whether they're high or lower. But your relationships is what we want to talk about today, the ROR. And that will happen when you engage in listening and not do this. You ever saw this? Because I have. Not long ago, I seen this. And it's amazing because today, the worldview teaches people that if you want to communicate, you go out to eat with each other and you get out your phones. I wonder if they were texting each other. But you watch. Have you ever seen this? But guess what? It'll come in your life. It'll come in your life. If you had better focus on communication, like just simple things at your table, at your house, make sure that there is no communication like this. Another thing is in airports. Go through airports or go through public places that have little book stands. A lot of stuff about communication. But here's the worldview. Get your point across. Remember, get your point across in 2 minutes or less. That's what they call communication. And that's what you're going to get when you listen to communication in that setting. So what is communication? Think about a little bit what a communication. It's a lot of the touchy-feely. It's the foo-foo of life, right? It's all these feelings and all these things that are happening. And I want to explain how that this really works, how you can communicate, and you can communicate a lot of different ways. See, Leon was my first cousin. Leon's 20-some years older than I am, and Leon was called into Vietnam. Leon had a struggled life, but Leon had a daughter about my age. She had high autism. And with high autism, she could not even function. She could say a word or two, but she never, ever had a sentence in her life with me as we've grown up together. But she has feelings and she has emotions. And see, Leon, I heard the rescue squad go down the road, and then I got the call Leon was gone. And when I got to the house, Leon was in the floor in front of his chair. They had already stopped. He was gone. So we walked into the other room, and everybody's hugging. Everybody's doing their thing. And Lori Jane, she's a little touchy in her emotions. She can get upset pretty easy, so nobody was really giving her any attention. And when I walked in, Lori Jane, when she says words, she'll start real low, and she'll say like one word. And when I walked in and I seen Lori Jane, all I done was this. She jumped up, and she said, "Hugs," and gave me a hug. See, that is communication. AI can't do that. I think it'd be pretty awkward when AI starts giving you a hug. We got to learn to communicate, and then here's one that you have. When you can learn to communicate, you're dealing with the spirits around you, spirit within you, and they're going to connect with other spirits. And when you can get that type of communication, you can communicate. So understand this. If communication happens, and you don't even need your eyes to do it, think about why Helen Keller or Myron Yoder are some of the best listeners there is. So you think about that as we go through it. So what is communication? There's three types. And as we've done this study after they said that I probably shouldn't be doing it, that's what makes you dig a little deeper. I think they gave it to me so I'd start listening to them a little better. And so the types that we know is conveyance, where you convey like an angel would convey. And there's this countenance. You don't think your countenance, don't do it. Go to the mall. Sit down. You say you don't judge a book by the cover, but it'll tell you a whole lot. There's people in the mall that will tell you they want to be a peacock. If you look at their hair, you look at how they dress, and you can see a whole lot by the countenance of the people that you deal with in your company. Or there's this conversations. And this is what we want to spend most of our time. Like when we want to figure out a better way to do this thing, and we're talking back and forth, that's a conversational that we want to know. And you know, when you communicate, some things get communicated like 911, the ones of you that are old enough to know. Do you remember where you were at 911? Most people know where they were standing when they heard that. And there's a communication there that you can't miss. So what is communication? Figure that out in your life. Study it out, because 93% is wordless. So if that's the case, we always think about communication as words. And I want to rob you of that thought. It is words, but 93% of it is something else. And, you know, as we figured it out, there was a lot of people that would tell you, a lot of different spectrums of communication say that 80% of it is misunderstood. So that means if you get better than half the people around, you're still 40% misunderstood. There again, raise teenage daughters, they'll prove this fact to you. But see, communication is a glue that holds us all together. It's what keeps us going, and it has to be personal. See, if I come up to one of you and I talk to you about the weather in Pennsylvania, all I'm doing is trying to get your attention, and vice versa. That's not communication. That's getting your attention with each other. It's got to be personal. And I don't mean like, what was the weather at your house? I'm saying it's got to be a personal communication to make it worthwhile. So as we're thinking about how we're going to communicate, that's what communication is. And y'all already know that. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. So as we think about how to communicate, then words are 7%. Got to be careful with them. And if you're in marketing, you know that words are a lot, maybe more than 7% when you're going to give a message about what your company wants to do or them kind of things. But I'm talking about in a conversational setting where where you're trying to communicate a message. My experience with this communication about all these other things but words was with Pladut. Pladut is the Israelis, and it was the first mini dairies that came into America by storm, and we bought Pladut. Now, when they were in another room, we were listening to them, and my partner said, hey, you need to go in there because they're going to destroy each other, and we're not going to get a system set up. I've never heard any type of communication like this, but if you've never heard of their culture, going at it, and we went in there and said, hey, what's up? Why are you angry? And he said, we're not angry. We're just enjoying life. And it was like, you sound like you're going to kill each other. And they say, well, that's our culture. If you don't get like that, nobody listens to you. So, wow, that's different. And so then we even found some other things. If you don't think this means a lot, this tone of voice and this thing, George Bush in 1998, he was a war hero. But yet they said his voice was a little pitched too high, so he brought a trainer in to lower it down to give him more respect. They said, you sound too wimpy when you're talking to the people. This is a big deal to people. And just know that it is more important, that 93%, than the 7%. Here's another one that you need to think about. You take three words, and we teach this in our HR workshop. So I didn't say that you stole on your time card. You can change that anywhere between 5 and 7, different definitions, different meanings, different interpretation, just by making a pronunciation different for a word, like saying, I didn't say, right? Or I didn't say, or I didn't say you cheated. And see, when you just raise your voice on one word, the whole communication is different. It changed everything about it. Now, here's another one that these teenage girls will teach you. If you want to know how to communicate, you need to make sure that you convey a message. You need to make sure that that message is received. You don't think it's received. You got to make sure it's received. And you make sure that by their response back to you, like, all right, Dad, I get it. I know that. Well, good. We've communicated finally, because usually I get accused of not. So think about that in your business life. If you want to communicate to your employees, if you want to communicate to your family, make sure that you convey it. Make sure they received it. Make sure they convey it back to you, and maybe you got it done. So there's nonverbal communication we want to talk about. And there's about four. There's a lot of these. If you study it out, there's a lot. But here's about four of the big ones that you need to think about in your life. And I really realized this at Epcot Center a couple years ago. We went around Christmas time. And there, my daughters wanted to go to a Christmas story. So I was sitting there trying not to be grumpy, so I was neutral. So then I was grumpy to them in my nonverbal communication. And so I was sitting there waiting on this Christmas program, and we watched them file in and sit on the side. And something I could tell was special. And then all of a sudden, they told the Christmas story. It was amazing because they read it right out of the Bible, the way I've been taught from my youth up. And they taught this Christmas story, and they sang the songs, and they interpreted it. And the whole time they were doing this, there was a lady signing to a whole section of deaf people. And I was like, wow, they've got the message. I could get the message, and I don't know sign language. It was amazing how that, listening to it and seeing that, I could almost pick it up. It was pretty impressive. And I realized, wow. So if you don't understand about this, have you ever heard this saying? Her nose is in the air. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard about your fellow employees that he got up on the wrong side of the bed? What does that mean? That means you read something in his nonverbal communication. He needed to get back in bed and get back out again. And so that would make him happy, right? This is the kind of thing that, how does people know that? We know it. We're built within it. It's intuition that gives us. So when do you communicate? That's what we're headed into it. And I need to hold that thought. I have ADHD. Sometimes it can be your magic. Sometimes it's your curse. I just about jumped ahead about three slides. So when you communicate, this is really where I think the rubber hits the road, okay? When you communicate, it's the knowing when. That's why they say that apples, a word freely spoken, is like apples of gold. I think it's my greatest failure. This is where I would love to be like my dad. Knowing the when is wisdom. My dad could convey a message. He would know the when to say the hard things, to touch me like nobody else could. And he didn't need many words. He didn't need very many words to do it. If you're going to have a difficult conversation with your employees, with your employer, with one another, it's knowing the when where the great wisdom lies. Most people can tell you what to say. They can have all the ideas. But it's knowing the when. It's when you know that you know how to do it. I will just promise you this. If you wait to communicate, if you're angry, that's a good thing. Any other time, it probably is not. Knowing the when's the wisdom. You figure that out on your own. I can't give you that today. So, take a lesson from the dog. I wish we had permission to give this face of this picture. But this man's not looking at his dog. He's not looking at all at the dog. You just need to know that if you want to think about listening, think about this. We're going to think about what listening is. There's ears. There's eyes in their heart. And this dog can smell a seizure. And 24/7, they're watching. They're watching. They're watching. And just think about that. If you want to be a good listener, be a service dog. So what is listening? Listening is this. I found this and I thought I just had to put this quote in here. It's just a complete intentional focus to what they're saying. And not really what their words mean. We're going to try to figure that out today. And here's where I've learned about it. As you go through this study about words and communication and listening, dig deep in it because it'll explain something. Poets and songwriters can take a lot of words and they keep condensing them down and keep condensing them down and they keep bringing them down to where they can take you to way, way away. They can bring you close. They can take your minds. They can do a lot of things with your emotions, and they can do that in just a few words. And that's where the true poets is. So when somebody says, you need to write me a story, that's one thing. But when a songwriter begins to write his story, he condenses it down. And so marketing has figured this out, right? Just one word. Just three words. But here's the deal. Nathan is going to come up here, and I want you to listen. I want you to listen to each other. So this is just a tiny bit of interactive. Listen to each other.
Let's sing one verse of Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but
thank you. You ask me again, I'll let you do it next time. So, can you imagine writing those words? Somebody could have wrote that and it would have been pages and pages and you'd have never gotten anything. But y'all know those words by heart. You sing them and you listen to each other and you listen for each other, and it's pretty interesting. And you know, Leon, my cousin there, when he was, we went to his funeral, and I knew a lot about Leon, but I didn't know a lot about Leon. And I knew he went to Vietnam, and my dad said that he was raised as a Christian. He was raised coming to our church, and he turned his back on God. And so I didn't know a whole lot about him. And then as he got closer to death, he told us he had to rethink that thing, that maybe there was a God. And so me and Leon became close in his really old years. And so we were sitting there in the front of the chapel at his funeral, and his wife was holding it together pretty good. And she was doing pretty well for the occasion. And he had some friends, and Leon played the banjo. And at our family things, they'd get the banjo out, and they'd play old hymns and old country songs. And his friend said, I want to share something that Leon maybe not have told y'all, but when Leon was called to Vietnam, he was just newlywed, and it about broke his heart. And he was afraid that he probably wouldn't never see his wife again. And so he picked a song as he went out of the house. And I guess in time of days, you got a ride. Somebody came and picked you up, and you had your bag, and you left. And that's what happened for Leon. So Leon took his banjo out, and right before he got in the car, he read this to her. And here's the song that he didn't read it. He played it, and he sang it to her. He said, darling, I've come to tell you that it almost breaks my heart that before the morning, darling, we'll be many miles apart. Don't this road look rough and rocky. Don't that sea look wide and deep. Don't my baby look the sweeter when she's in my arms asleep. Don't you hear the night birds calling far across the deep blue sea? While of others you are thinking, won't you sometimes think of me? The tears was rolling on Janet's cheeks. I don't know why it got to me, but I just want to share that we experienced that. And those words that he experienced touched her even in his death. And that's how, when you really listen to each other, you can communicate a lot without a lot of words. So what is listening? Deeper. Listening is when leaders ask questions to engage that listening of the eyes, the ears, and the hearts to build bridges of understanding. It's much more than dialogue or swapping ideas. Now, you think about the depth of listening. When you get into the depth of listening, your reality that's in your mind, in your ideas at work or at home, and whoever you're working with has reality and ideas. And when you start listening to each other and you enter into that depth of dialogue, you will build a bridge of understanding and you'll come to a new common reality that there's no way you could have ever reached unless you went through that journey of listening to each other. In other words, if you do like what I typically in my nature would do, where you just, you can't never reach that bridge of common reality. That's where we want to go to today. I want to plead with you that you learn how to do that. So why is it important? It's so important to a family. It's so important to us. Pick one of these. It's a list that we kept put together as we studied through it. We said, hey, here's the deal. It's going to be different to each one of us, but I know it'll make every one of you healthier, and it'll make every one of you stronger. And here's the deal. Do you realize that the science, here's the science of communication. You normally speak at about 120 words a minute. That's what typical people do, is they speak at 120 words a minute. And you can actually start to comprehend about 400 to 600 words a minute. And that's what I like to speak at when I'm really wanting to get my point across, yet it harms me from getting it across. And if you ever go to Missouri and talk to one of their farmers, they're going to talk at 50 words a minute. I'm in it. And you understand that becomes a problem because you develop this listening, and it's a science. You actually develop this part of listening, and they call it your style of listening. That's why some people talk too fast for you, some people talk too slow for you, some people talk just right. You've developed your style. And that's why I never get graded that I talk too slow in these things. But here's the thing. Your brain can think 1,000 words a minute. Know these things about you and understand that's going on when you're sitting down in a really, really intense dialogue where you want to come to that bridge of common reality. So about listening and servant leadership, this is interesting because we were working with another lady and she was having to deliver this same topic to a bunch of Fortune 500 companies in America. And so we began putting our slides together. The next four, we interacted together in a very secular setting. And she showed this to me because she is a Christian and she wanted to be a little light to those guys, she said. Pretty interesting. So we shared our slides and I mingled them here. And it says, effective listening has to uncover barriers. We have to uncover barriers. Think about that. You have to uncover barriers to have effective listening. And by using this technique of effective listening, you actually understand the needs of others that you need to serve. It's really simple and really hard to do. You got to somehow do that. So where we want to go to is three levels of this listening. Let's get into three levels of the listening. Three levels of listening, and the first level is just listening to speak. There again, it's really, the focus is on you because you're listening because you're going to speak next. Again, this is what my daughters say that I do continually. And it's because I never respond the way they want me to respond. And I never give the answers that they want. And they just continually pour off question after question after question. You ever had anybody like that in your life? And I've told my children, when they open my will, I'm going to give them my answers. That's what they get when I die. And so that is something that really can get you, is when you are listening just to speak, you're not listening at all. You just need to know that. So go to the second level. That's where we want to start really in thinking about this listening, the second level of listening. When you experience this from somebody else, it'll energize you. You become very, very comfortable with that person because their entire focus is on you. And when you're speaking, they're listening. And you think about that, how it's made you feel when you've experienced that before. You know, there's a lot of stories that could be told about how people listening makes a change in their life. But back after the Depression, it was hard to get a job. And you know, they were still using Morse code. And it was tough. It was competition. And the union, they called and they put this advertising out, the Western Union, that they were going to hire one person in a big city. And I don't know, I've never experienced this, but the room was full. Everybody's filling out their application. And in the background, they could hear the Morse code typing. And all of a sudden, a young man jumped up and ran in. And he got the job. Because they were typing out in the Morse code in the background of these people's ears, if you can understand this, the job is yours. And the rest of them couldn't figure it out. See, even when you're dealing on yourself and you want this job so bad, still listen, still listen. It'll pay dividends to you. And then if you start listening to understand, this is where you focus on the context, you focus on the energy, you focus on everything that's around you. This is where you're going to begin to get into that higher level. And this can only happen, truly, truly happen with the results you want when you have love and empathy. And I've come to the conclusion that most young males are not born with love and empathy. We have to train ourselves for empathy, for compassion. Because I figure that in my life, I've wondered, why is decision so much harder? I think it's because I'm beginning to realize about love and empathy. So, when you do this, it takes all of level two. You're really listening to what's not being said, as Simon Sinek says. And you know what I feel like that I have learned from this? You can't fake it. Like you can't be off in another land and your wife and daughters or your coworker finish talking and, oh, you're going to engage back. You just proved yourself. You can't fake this. You can't fake this depth that'll come out. There is no possible way. And when you can get to hear students, when you can, even if you don't like your teacher, if you can engage in that. And throughout today, if you can engage in this as you're listening to them teach to you, you will learn way more abundantly. It'll come in and you won't just learn it, you'll remember it and it'll change your life. And when you begin to interact at this level with people, your relationships and your ROR will become increasingly greater. And so let's do a deep dive into this because that's what it really means. So let's do a deep dive into this third level of listening, and it begins with your eyes. And it's just really, really powerful for you to understand that it's 80% of listening. This listening doesn't mean talking unless you quickly ask a question, but don't interrupt. And just remember that when you're listening, you're only going to remember 25% of what you hear, so there's a good time to take notes, and it'll also keep you from interrupting if you'll take notes when you're listening. And then the other thing is that you have to be silent to hear. And know that there's a lot of depth to that. And then there's this thing called the reticular activity system in sales. If you realize that in sales, if you're selling, or you might be selling somebody to come to work for you, I don't know what it is you might be selling, but if you'll interact with this, you'll realize that when you listen to the client and you go back out and you give them a proposal and you say the very words that they said to you, they'll say, they listened to me. That's what I want. I'm going to hire them. See, that's the way that you can do it. Or you can be like a cow. You know, does any of y'all milk cows? Any of you milk cows? There's a few of you that still milk cows. So you'll understand this. Do you ever sing to your cows? You ever sing to them while you're milking? Because you need to learn that it's like in one ear and out the other. You're going to learn that with your cows. So listening with your eyes. I don't know about this 20,000 different facial expressions. I don't know about this. That's what they say, right? As I studied it out, I can just tell you there's a bunch of them. And the eye is the light of the body. And if you'll begin to smile, your eyes will sparkle. Have you ever went up to a little child and his eyes are sparkling and they look you in the eye? There's a connection there. And it's like, wow, they're really listening to me. I think that's what makes adults and children connect. When a child will listen to you, then it makes you want to, you'll connect with them. And it's a special feeling that you can do. And another thing about looks with the eye. Have you ever heard this saying, if looks could kill? That's a terrible thing. It's because we're communicating something with our eyes. And you got to learn that my dad could do this. He could give me affirmation or disappointment in milliseconds of time. So I got to train you. I got to just see if y'all have learned anything yet. So imagine y'all going to go on a bus ride. Imagine you're the driver. And we're going to go on this bus ride, and you got to listen to what I'm saying, right? And so you're going to go due north, 3 miles. You're going to do due south, 2 miles. Due east, 3 miles, sorry. Due south, 2 miles. And due west, 1 mile. You following me? How old's the driver? How old are you? See, we said we was going to imagine we're going on a bus ride. And imagine you're the driver. So you see, you listen to what all is being said. You got to listen deeply, and you'll pick those things up. So listen with your heart. Listen deeply with your heart. Poor listeners will find very well, and it'll come to them with their troubles. You'll engage. You understand that you're not going to engage hearts if you don't listen. So as we dig deeper into the heart, I want you to think about this. If you listen with your heart, you're going to overpower prejudice. You're going to overpower jumping to conclusions, assumptions, lack of empathy, and all these bad things in your life. I really believe that this is one of my worst things. It can open up cold hearts with the warmth of yours. My daughter loves to keep Down syndrome children, and there was a big 12-year-old Down syndrome girl, and her parents didn't think she was functioning at all. And my daughter said, but she's trying to tell us that she wants to learn. She began working with this girl, and one day when she came in, her mom to get her, she was folding clothes. Mom, folding clothes. And her mom lost it. She's like, how did you do this? I just listened to her. She wants to be one of us. See, you can open up cold hearts. You can teach Down syndrome, but the problem with it is that we want to do this thing called, we want to interrupt them because we're formulating a response before they finish. You ever done that? I don't know why, but I must think, I've asked myself, when I do that to you, do I assume that I know more than you? Do I assume that I already know what you're going to say next? Or do I don't even really care about what you're saying at all? Have you ever felt that way? Because that's what I think about when I look deep inside of me, when I interrupt people, and I do it way too much. I wonder if that's not why. So if you're going into the depth of this listening with your heart, that's where the human gift comes. That's where relationships become amazing. Things happen that can never happen before. It's not a dialogue of just hearing what they got to say. It's what they're feeling. You're listening with your eyes, your ears, and your heart to that third level where it's all engaged. Everything you have, everything you can give, and it focuses on feelings and facts all at once. All and cumbersome. Do you not understand that's why the human gift is so great when you get to this point? The human gift can take you to places that it's never been before. So, I want to test you another test. So, I'm going to say that every time that that I say the word joke, you're going to raise your hands, okay? So, I'm going to practice. Joke. Everybody do it. Everybody get engaged. So I'm going to say joke, and I'm going to interject that joke, and y'all got to keep saying that joke. And so, you know, when you're listening to people, you can tell jokes, and sometimes when you tell jokes, people listen for the punchline, and sometimes when you tell jokes, people don't listen for the punchline. And so now I ask you, is what do you call the white part of an egg? A yolk. So see, you have to listen deeply, or you will be misled. Let marketing guys get a hold to you. They'll show you that. They'll get you to buy things you shouldn't be buying. And that's how. So think about this. Listening, the reason you were doing that, because you were trying to think about what I wanted you to do, wasn't it? Not really listening to what I'm saying. Wonder what he's trying to get at here, right? And so when you have this done, this benefit of listening, it'll create trust. You don't have to have that. So when we build this, when I will give you this human gift of great listening, we're going to build this trust. And that trust is going to be so great that you're not trying to figure out what's not been said. That trust is so great that you can show others that you care just by your presence. And you know, I have witnessed this in scenes of people of where they get to know each other and they loosen up and they loosen up and do that. And this is what's amazing to me, except you become as a little child. Have you ever seen boys and girls in a sandbox? We just witnessed. There was a family that came from Belize on a singing tour through America. A Mennonite family out of Spanish Lookout. I don't know if any of you got to visit with them. They went across America, and we had got to know them, and so we spent an evening with them, and their children had broken English, and the sandbox was full. And immediately, 20 minutes in, they were building castles, they were doing things, and they were interacting, and they didn't all know English really well. They were listening to each other with their heart. I watched their little eyes connect. They could look at each other and hand them the tractor. It was amazing what children can do. And see, when you have this depth of understanding, depth of empathy, and when you got all three levels of listening going on in your life, it'll carry you to places just like them children got in a sandbox. You can do that. Have you ever lost a sale? Have you ever lost a sale? Or you, if anybody's in sales, have you ever talked your way out of a sale? Because when you listen your way in one, it was in one of my slides. I have. But see, I didn't listen to this guy. I knew I had a heavy competitor. And this was 20-some years ago, where $100,000 was a lot of money. And I listened to him, I thought, and I had a $75,000 quote. I lost the job. My competitor got it at $125,000. I learned a valuable lesson. I didn't listen to him. I listened to a little bit of what he said, but the whole time I was going in my mind how I could beat that other guy or how I could do this to come under budget to make this guy happy. And it really, I got to thinking, I really wasn't worried about the other guy because I didn't know where he was at. I was trying to make him happy. And see, I thought that people were happy by saving money because I thought everybody was raised like Anabaptist. I didn't realize that he had plenty of money and he wanted a really beautiful landscape. I didn't listen to him. I truly didn't listen. I lost really heavily. And that was one of my lessons of many, 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 many lessons. So I will plead with you that when you engage in this, there is many, many stories that you can gain. And so I'll just give you a little tip. If you don't think you know how to do this third level of listening, find somebody in your life. It could be a lady at the counter at a store, a man, an old person, a young person. It could be a neighbor. And just sit down and simply do this. You look them in the eye. Make sure your body language is not saying, I'm here to visit with you, but I'm jumping around. And say, I do that bad. It's like, you got to push all that away and just relax. And say, tell me your story. Or how did you get to here or there? How did you get into business? But if you want a stranger to open up to you, ask them their story. Because see, everybody has a story. You go into town and there's a grumpy old guy or a grumpy old lady or anybody that you're working with and a client and they're grumpy. Just stop and say, what's on your heart? Tell me your story. Because I know you don't want to be grumpy. And if you get the kind of relationship where you got trust, you can look at them and say, I know you don't like being grumpy. Tell me about it. Because nobody likes to be grumpy. But if you can't do that, just simply look at them and just say, hey, talk to me. Tell me your story. And you get to the richer part of life. And when you recognize that everybody has a story. And everybody has feelings. Everybody has emotions. And everybody wants to be loved. And everybody wants to be listened to. Then you can get across some pretty big deals. Have you ever got into negotiation where you didn't think it was going to work out? God already knows. I keep telling myself, I'm telling myself in a situation right now. God already knows the outcome. And this really close brother of mine, he tells me this. He says, God already knows the outcome. Just make sure you walk in a way that he wants you to get there. And that's where these situations, when you get into these depths of situations where there's pain and there's people wanting to break relationships and you're called on to sit down and talk about that and you need to listen to each other. Listen intently, because listen intently doesn't mean that you take sides, and listen intently does not mean that you don't like the guy that's over here or over here. Listen intently means that you're going to give your all and you're going to give wisdom and you're going to understand everybody's stories, and you're going to bring people together into ways that they've never been brought before. So once you get people to trust you, then they will listen to you, and then they will open up to you. If you have a troubled son or daughter, I can tell you from experience, my last daughter's getting married. I can tell you many, many failures. I cannot write a book. I cannot give you the secrets because I have none. But I can tell you the few little things that's helped us, a few little nuggets that's got us through, is when you have a daughter that's going through that time, when they go through that change of life, and you can't connect with her, you do whatever it takes. One of my daughters was that she wanted me to go play pickleball at 8:30 after I was tired because there was lights up in town at this place, and her friends was coming, and I was like, first of all, why do you want your dad to go play? Second of all, why should I go play pickleball? I'm ready for bed. And I began to realize that that's when she opened up her heart to me. I had to listen to what she's telling me. Dad, I want to talk to you. And it takes a freight train to get that into me. Okay? Remember that in your life. If you have an employee that's struggling, they're probably not angry at you. They need you to listen to them. And maybe they didn't even know how to tell you that. There was a man called me last night, and he said, and a real close friend, he said, I have a situation with my partners. How do I get him to convey this strong message that he's been very, very, very unpassionate to his employees? I got 3 phone calls yesterday on my brother-in-law. And I told him, you know, first of all, what's going on? And he shared where he's been placed in a really heavy spot of responsibility with some of our people. And I'm like, there it is. He's went into his backup style. So sit down and listen to him and say, before we talk about this, tell me about what you're feeling in your life. Tell me your story of why you're so stressed with this situation. And I think it'll overcome and you'll come. My partner, the last thing I want to tell you about the benefit of listening. My partner lost his wife almost 2 years ago. It was getting bad and we were on a job together here about 3 months ago. And finally, his name is Brad. I was like, Brad, something has to change because you look like you could bite the head off of every snake that crawls. You already know. I just said, you know what he looked like. And he knew that he looked like that. So we said, all right, we'll talk next week. We put it off, get our emotions together, and me and him and my longtime partner, we sat down. First of all, we said, Brad, something has to change. Let's talk about it. I didn't know we said anything. I didn't know we'd done any talking. Brad opened up and the tears flowed. And he said, you know what? I got to get out of here. We've been partners for years, over 20 years, in a tight partnership. He said, I got to get out of here. So we said, okay, you think about it. Interesting enough, Brad went and he said, I'm going to think about it. And we're going to get back together in 3 or 4 days. He came back and me and my other partner said, we need to send him to Kansas, where he can't see anything but crops and harvest with one of our friends. He came back. He said, guys, I don't want to tell you, break y'all's heart, but I think I need to go to Kansas where I can't see anything but crops and get a hold of myself. I said, wow, I think you're meant to go. And you know what Brad told us? He wrote us a big lengthy email. He said, I can't believe how much just talking about this changed my life. I feel so much better now. Me and Galen didn't talk. What did we do? We listened. We listened to his heart. So I shared this the last time we were there, and I found out that it works with 5-year-olds, and I think they listen better than the 25-year-olds. So I want to drive this in. And the last time, if you remember, we drawed Elam's ears. And we didn't have room on the page. And so we want to show you this, that if you will just sit down with the 5-year-old, I'm going to tell you, it works. It's been amazing. Go home to your little children and tell them to draw somebody's ears and get them engaged. Say, what is that? That's a heart. Tell them to write the ear right in the center of it. And you put ear, right? Now tell them to add the H and the T to the heart. And this is what we find. They believe then that the way to someone's heart is through the ears.